KJAN Sports.
Time for Check of Sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. In high school volleyball, just a couple of matches around the area last night. It was South Page beating Diagonal 3 straight games and Earlham beating Nottoway Valley 3-2 in girls volleyball play. In high school cross country last night, Red Oak hosting a cross country meet. On the girls side, it was Griswold winning the team championship as Griswold placed first with 64 points. Harlan was second with 75. Glenwood with 97 points was third. Shenandoah with 99 was fourth. Atlantic placed fifth with a 113 total. Red Oak, Clarinda, Bedford, and Southwest Valley round out the rest of the field. Individually, Rebecca Topham of Griswold continues to shine. She wins 15 minutes 20.62 seconds. That was way ahead of the rest of the field. Mackenzie Hulsing of Southwest Iowa was runner-up 17 minutes 22 one-hundredths of a second. Atlantic's Tiffany Williams placed fourth, running 17.07 last night. Also, Griswold's Leah Lappy and Alex Flippin placed ninth and tenth in the meet. Alexis Brockman for Atlantic placing 12th. Griswold's Bridget Maurer was 15th as well in that meet last night. On the boys' side at Red Oak last night, it was Harlan winning the team championship as they had the first, third, fourth, seventh, and eighth place finishers. In fact, their sixth runner placed ninth, still in the top ten, even though his running didn't qualify in the team competition. He only scored the top five. Harlan had 23 points for the win. Shenandoah with 49 was the runner-up. Red Oak with 69 was third. Atlantic had a 107 total for fourth place. Rockport, Griswold, and Southwest Valley round out the rest of the field. Individually, Chris Brace of Harlan was the champ. 17 minutes, 21.68 seconds was his time. Josh Sundberg of Red Oak ran second. Philip Soranko of Harlan was third. Michael Soranko of Harlan placing fourth. Also, Preston Burris, Brad Jones, and Andrew Mum were 7th, 8th, and 9th in the meet last night, and they all run for Harlan as well. Atlantic's top runner was Josiah Williams. He placed 15th in last night's meet. Also, Morgan Munsey was 21st, Adam Weezer 22nd in that meet for Atlantic. Tyrell Peters was the top runner for Griswold last night. He placed 28th in that Red Oak meet. Well, the weekly Associated Press High School football poll out late yesterday afternoon. In Class 4A, the big schools, Dowling Catholic is still on top with Cedar Rapids, Xavier, Iowa City West, Urbandale, and Pleasant Valley, the top half of the top 10. Cedar Falls, Bettendorf, Ames, Waukee, and Sioux City East round out the top 10. In Class 3A, Bishop Heelan Catholic remains number one, right ahead of Harlan, who is number two. Spencer, Decorah, and Pella round out the top five, followed by Clear Lake, Grinnell, Humboldt, Williamsburg, and Webster City and Boone are tied for 10th this week. In Class 2A, Kemper Catholic takes over the number one spot in the poll as they swap spots with Waukon, who drops to second place. Spirit Lake, West Marshall, and Union are the top five, followed by Albia, Mediapolis, Garner, Hayfield, Ventura, New Hampton, and North Polk at number 10. In Class 1A, the poll this week has Iowa City Regina still on top. St. Albert moves up a spot at number two this week. South Winneshiek drops from second to third. Dyke, New Hartford, and St. Ansgar round out the top five. They're followed by Wilton, Mount Air, Maquoketa Valley, North Fayette, and Van Meter. In Class A, West Lyon remains the number one ranked team with Wapsie Valley number two. BGM is third, AGWSR fourth, and Akron Westfield is fifth. AHST moves up a spot to number six in this week's poll. Montezuma is in at number seven. East Mills is up two places to number eight. Algona Garrigan is ninth, and Griswold debuts in the list this week. The Tigers, at 2-1 on the season, are in at the number 10 spot in this week's poll. And in the eight-man class this week, Don Bosco remains the number one ranked team. Exira EHK has one more first-place vote than Don Bosco. They got seven. Don Bosco picked up six, but Don Bosco has three more voting points overall, so Exira EHK remains number two in this week's poll. Newell Fonda is three. Adair Casey moves up one spot. They're at number four this week. West Bend Mallard is ranked fifth. Springville, Glidden-Ralston, River Valley, Coon Rapids-Bayard, and Sydney round out the rest of the top 10 in the eight-man class this week. Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini went on a profanity-laced tirade against fans and two newspaper writers in 2011 audio that surfaced on the sports website Deadspin. The audio, posted yesterday, catches Pelini speaking with Husker Sports Network play-by-play man Greg Sharp before his post-game radio interview following Nebraska's win over Ohio State in October of 2011. That conversation happened off-air. Pelini had been criticized by fans and media in the days leading up to the Ohio State game for the Huskers' performance the week before in a 31-point loss at Wisconsin. In the audio, Pelini repeatedly used an expletive to refer to what he calls fair-weather fans. After the audio went viral Monday, Pelini released a statement that read, quote, "I want to sincerely apologize for my comments from 2 years ago, which became public today. I take full responsibility for these comments. They were spoken in a private room following the Ohio State game. I was venting following a series of emotional events which led to this moment. That being said, these comments are in no way indicative of my true feelings. I love it here in Nebraska and feel fortunate to be associated with such a great university and fan base. I again apologize to anyone whom I have offended." That's a quote from Coach Pelini. That wasn't the only issue Pelini dealt with yesterday. Nebraska coach said if Tommy Frazier doesn't like how he's running the football program, well, he doesn't need his support. Frazier quarterbacked the Cornhuskers national championship teams in 1994 and 95. He ripped the direction of the program on Twitter hours after Nebraska squandered an 18-point lead in a 41-21 loss to UCLA on Saturday. Frazier called for the firings of the defensive staff and bemoaned what he saw as a lack of adjustments made in-game. Pelini said at his news conference yesterday that he had heard about the tweet and that his coaching staff and the administration were doing all they can to win. Pelini says he's embraced former players, and if he feels like that, then so be it. We don't need him. That's a shame. Well, rookie running back burned the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. Giovanni Bernard scored his first two NFL touchdowns as the Bengals doubled up the Steelers 20-10 in Cincinnati. It was a 10-10 game in the third quarter until Bernard turned a short pass into a 27-yard touchdown. Andy Dalton threw for 280 yards and no interceptions for the 1-1 Bengals. The Steelers had just 44 rushing yards as they fall to 0-2 for the first time in 11 years. Well, the NFL wants Tampa Bay safety Deshaun Goldson to clean up his act. The league has given him a one-game suspension for flagrant and repeat violations of NFL safety rules prohibiting hits to the head and neck areas of defenseless players. Goldson was penalized for unnecessary roughness in the second quarter of Sunday's game against New Orleans for making direct helmet-to-helmet contact with defenseless receiver Darren Sproles. The suspension was imposed Monday by NFL Vice President of Football Operations Merton Hanks. Goldson can't practice this week nor play in the Buccaneers game on Sunday against New England. He can return to football activities with the team next Monday. That violation was Goldson's fifth for unnecessary roughness since 2011 and his second in the first 2 weeks of this season. In other news around the NFL, Browns quarterback Brandon Whedon's sprained right thumb could keep him out of this week's game at Minnesota. Coach Rob Chudzinski says the team will wait to see how the injury responds in the next few days before deciding Whedon's status for the Vikings. The Atlanta Falcons were looking for two new starters after losing defensive end Croy Bierman and fullback Brady Ewing to season-ending injuries. Bierman tore his right Achilles tendon, and Ewing separated his left shoulder in Sunday's win over the Rams. Coach Mike Smith says each will be placed on the reserve injured list. San Francisco nose tackle Ian Williams is expected to be sidelined for the remainder of the season with a broken left ankle suffered in Sunday's loss to Seattle. The third-year pro was injured in his first NFL start. Denver All-Pro left tackle Ryan Clady hurt his left foot in the waning minutes of their win over the Giants Sunday, and there's a possibility that he could miss a game for the first time in his six-year NFL career. Coach John Fox indicated the team is still evaluating Clady's left foot sprain. Colts left guard Donald Thomas will have season-ending surgery in the next few days, a week after tearing a quad tendon in his right leg. Coach Chuck Pagano said Thomas will have surgery later this week and will be put on the injured reserve list. Panthers starting free safety Charles Godfrey is out for the remainder of the season with a torn right Achilles tendon. The Panthers' six-year starter sustained the injury during the second half of Carolina's loss to Buffalo on Sunday. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs don't have a whole lot of time to enjoy their winning start with a game against the Philadelphia Eagles looming on Thursday night. The Chiefs pushed their record to 2-0 with a 17-16 victory over the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday, matching their victory total from all of last year. But the time most fans were reliving the win on their recliners, the Chiefs coaching staff was breaking down film of the Eagles. They worked late Sunday night and then got back to the office early Monday, finishing off a game plan that they hope will slow down Chip Kelly's fast-paced offense. The game will also be a homecoming for Chiefs coach Andy Reid, who was fired in January after 14 seasons leading the Eagles. We'll have that game for you Thursday night here on KJAN. We're on the air at 6 o'clock with the pregame. 7 o'clock is the scheduled kickoff. Well, Todd Helton started his final homestand with a key single in the eighth inning with the Colorado Rockies beating the St. Louis Cardinals 6-2 last night. Charlie Blackman had three hits and drove in three runs for the Rockies, who prevented the Cardinals from taking over sole possession of first place in the National League Central. They remain tied with the Pittsburgh Pirates, who lost 2-0 to San Diego. Matt Carpenter and Matt Adams had two hits each for the Cardinals. Helton was playing in front of a Colorado fan base for the first time since he announced his plans to retire at the end of the season, his 17th. He received a standing ovation when he came to the plate in the first inning, and Cardinals starter Lance Lynn stood behind the mound and waited as the crowd saluted Helton. Elsewhere in the National League, Philadelphia beat Miami 12-2, Milwaukee over Chicago 6-1, Arizona beat L.A. 2-1, Atlanta at Washington was postponed due to the events in Washington yesterday. That's rescheduled as a doubleheader today. In the American League, James Shields kept the Indians off balance for six innings. Salvador Perez led a scrappy Kansas City offense, and the Royals pounded Cleveland 7-1 last night, opening up a three-game set with significant playoff implications. Shields struck out a season-high 10 for the Royals, who moved within 2.5 games of the AL's second wild-card berth. The Indians remained a half-game back of Texas, which lost to Tampa Bay earlier in the night in a matchup of teams leading the wild-card race. Shields allowed only Lonnie Chisenhall's solo homer before turning the game over to his stingy bullpen. Wade Davis, Luke Hoschaver, and Tim Collins did the rest in a steady drizzle. Elsewhere in the American League, Detroit beat Seattle 4-2, Tampa Bay over Texas 6-2, the White Sox beat Minnesota 12-1, the Angels 12-1 over Oakland. One interleague game saw Cincinnati beat Houston by a score of 6-1. In golf, Zach Johnson shot a final round 6-under-65 to win the BMW Championship. Johnson completed the tournament two shots in front of Nick Watney and three in front of Jim Furyk. The round was completed yesterday because of bad weather from the previous afternoon. And in racing news, veteran driver Juan Pablo Montoya is headed back to open-wheel racing on the IndyCar circuit. Montoya has agreed to join Team Penske next season, leaving behind Chip Ganassi's NASCAR team. With Penske, Montoya will join current IndyCar points leader Elio Castroneves and Will Power. He could also drive in some NASCAR races as part of that deal. Ganassi, who decided in August he was not bringing Montoya back to his NASCAR program next season, will now be facing him on the IndyCar circuit. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.